Welcome back to After the Week. Finally, we're back. Will, how do you feel? We've been, we didn't do last week's show because I was dying.
I was going
In
to
fact,
say,
I
how
couldn't
I
get
feel is irrelevant. How do you
No,
feel?
I was going to say, how are you feeling and that we're back? Because, okay, so last week, this was, I already knew I wasn't going to make it. Like, there was no way. So I would try to talk, Will, and this was like, that terrible sound that you just heard was all that I could manage to get out. By the way, sorry to the audio and listeners, but it was so bad, Will. Like, I wasn't gonna make it on this show. So I'm so happy that we're back.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah, you had texted me at like 3 a.m. the morning before last week. Like, I don't think this is
It was
happening. I don't
3 a.m. when I texted you.
It was pretty early.
Bro, I was already like drugged out on like cough syrup and tea. I don't think I had any sort of like, I didn't know like what time it was or anything.
I want to see the exact time, just to
Oh my
be.
God, Will,
I want
who
to know. I want to
cares?
know. No, because this is.
How is
This
this
is how
turned
this. I
into
just want to put it into
conversation?
perspective how we found out exactly when I wasn't doing after the week this week. Yeah, whatever. I can't find it because we've had a lot of texts this
Yeah,
week.
I was gonna say you would have to insert keywords, and I don't even remember what. Like, oh, I think I put like bad news or something.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I was literally on my couch though, and I was like, hey, let me see. Oh. Literally like that.
Yeah, pretty much. But how are you this week? Do you feel
So
better? Do you feel energized? Do you have that like fresh after sickness, new
not
energy?
yet. It's still not there. It's taking forever. But today's the first day that I haven't taken medicine, so at least I'm doing pretty good. But I had to take medicine all the other days. But I feel good. You know, like I'm here. I'm alive. Not dead. Could
Was
be worse.
1:30 a.m. by the way, I did find it.
Oh my God. 1:30 a.m. your time?
So it's 12:30 your time.
Okay, so there you go. That should tell you
Yeah,
everything.
it
I
was
was
still like
dying.
I woke up in the middle of the night like one of those like late night peas and I'm like, "Oh, let me just
Oh,
look
you
at my
were already
phone."
asleep?
I was completely asleep. I woke up and I'm like,
What?
"Oh, guess I'm not doing it after the week."
You don't seem like a person who goes to sleep at like 1:30. You seem like a 3 a.m. type person.
Really? For everything I
Yeah.
try to get done. No, it depends. Lately I've been getting to bed before midnight the last couple of nights. I have been, by the way, the
Oh my
one
God,
thing
you're a
that
grandpa, Will. I go to sleep every night past midnight.
I know you do. I know when you're online, Denise. But the I don't know. Last night I didn't even make it through a full episode of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel before I'm like, I can't do this. I'm going to bed. And I passed out. By the way, this season, really freaking good.
I know, I already watched the first three
I
episodes.
know
I'm up
you
to
have. I'm
date.
talking to the audience. But I'm
I'm just
saying.
saying, I love how you were like, it's a really good season so far, but I haven't finished the episode one. I'm like, what, Will?
No, I finished episode one. I haven't finished
Okay.
two. But the
But
thing
you've watched one episode so
I've watched
far.
one and a half.
Okay, one and a half, excuse me.
But the thing that show does best, it's still continuing to do, which is its dialogue. I freaking love
Yes.
it. It's great.
Yes. They make like
And
nonsense. For those who haven't seen the show, they make like nonsense, like the most mediocre, like conversations that aren't supposed to be funny, funny somehow.
well, and it's
Like the most
so
mundane conversations. There you go.
yeah. Well,
Did
it's
you see the part about the
so
toe already? The toe?
yes. Yeah,
Okay,
of
the
course.
toe part killed me. I
That's
was
so
dying and
great.
I couldn't laugh when I was watching the show because I still had my coughs. I would start laughing and then I would go into a cough. So, but I was dying over the toe.
Yeah, the toe stuff was really good. No, the stuff I'm really liking is the stuff they're doing in the cold opens with the flashing
Oh,
forward to the
yeah.
future. That stuff's really good as well.
Yeah.
And
That one got me in the feels too. Got me
oh
in the
yeah,
feels.
no, on the second episode, the stuff with Susie and Midge not having a relationship anymore, that breaks my heart. I can't believe
I
the show's
know.
almost
It's a
over.
lot. It's a lot. But we'll get to this thing. Well, for those that are fans of the show or haven't checked out the show, check out the show. It's a fun one. All
Yes.
right. Let's get to this, Will. I want to start off by asking you how you felt overall about the wrestling week this week.
Great. Actually, I so Raw had what I like to call the rubber band effect, which is where something goes so bad in one direction that it almost snaps back in the other. And I thought Raw was really good this week, considering how awful that shit was.
Really good for Raw standards or really good in general?
I thought it was really good, period. I thought it was just a great show. And Dynamite, I enjoyed a lot of the developments out of Dynamite. I tried to watch as much as I could this week. I think I even watched Impact.
I watched Impact this week too, actually.
Yeah, okay. I need some help, folks, for people who watch Impact on the regular. I used to be a regular Impact viewer. Now I catch it on occasion. I need people, because I know there's an event tonight. I need people to explain the Impact pay-per-view schedule to me like I'm five.
They have one, like, literally, I feel like every month they have one, like, pay-per-view show on Impact Plus. And then they have a couple that are done on, like, just Fight TV. I always get confused which ones are on Impact Plus and which ones are on Fight.
And that's I'm just confused about the entire schedule. Like, what's what and why?
I feel like there's literally one every month. Like, at least a big one every month, for sure. Like, even if they're not on Fight, they're at least on the Impact Plus pay-per-views. I used to do the Impact Plus pay-per-views for Fightful, but then I stopped doing that because they got, like, no views. So people didn't care about Impact, which sucks because it's a good show. Like, all of those pay-per-views, when I was covering them on, like, a monthly basis, I was enjoying them. I was like, damn, like, these pay-per-views top to bottom are really freaking good. And so I recently had to start watching Impact again. I started watching this week, and I watched a little last week because of Busted Open. So I had to make sure, like, I'm, you know, aware of what's going on there. So I've slowly started to, like, you know, come back in. But when I was watching and covering those monthly pay-per-views, those were some of the ones that, how do I say this? There were some of the easiest shows to watch.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I am seeing...
Yes, you do have Friday pay-per-views, and that also really messed up when I stopped watching. When I stopped covering them on Fightful, because they used to be on Saturdays. So when Saturdays they had the pay-per-views, it was really easy for me because I had nothing else going on. But then when they moved them to Friday, it was like, well, I already have responsibilities, you know, someplace else, so I can't, you know, do the Impact shows anymore. And so that was, you know, a whole thing.
Yeah, again, but why... But today's Sunday. So, like, I truly don't understand their schedule. And it throws me off every time. I feel like there's no regularity to it. And so whenever I look up and I'm like, oh, they're promoting another Impact event. Wasn't there just one last week? Is this one on Fight? Is this one on Impact Plus? I don't know. So either way, that's why I was like, just explain it to me like I'm 5 years old. The Impact pay-per-view schedule.
Oh man, so this is good. This one's a good one. This one's from Devil Kasuya, who says Impact is gonna impact. You know what I usually do? I usually just go on their, I actually check their website a lot for their events, and that's how I figure out, like, what their schedule is for the shows and whatnot. But I do try to watch at least the pay-per-views. I don't get to watch the television weekly, but I do watch the pay-per-views. And then okay, so anyways, kind of got off on a tangent here.
That's what we do best.
It's what we do best. All right, everyone, before we get into our best and worst of the week, just a heads up, if you guys want to help support this podcast, keep me to be able to keep affording Will, because Will is an expensive man.
Yeah.
Will is an expensive man.
And
I got to keep paying
getting
him
more
to be
expensive.
On this panel. Getting more expensive by the minute. No, but for real, guys, please send in these super chats if you guys can, if you want. And they just, you get your question, your comment, your statement read here on the podcast, and it also helps support the show. But let's get into this. So I think this week's best and worst list is going to be pretty similar. Will, to you, I have a feeling.
Maybe. There's at least one thing that's going to be different, though.
There was little conversations that you and I had that I was like, yeah, we're going to have the same thing.
I guess we'll see.
We are. Watch. It's going to happen. I just know it. By the way, I was
usually
so...
I'm the one who's on that track, but this time you're like,
No, but also last week I was so pissed that that I was sick and dying and couldn't do the show, because I really want, I felt very passionate last week about my worst, and for once, and I wasn't able to actually do it. And so
I need to hear what it is.
Very upset. Oh, my worst for last week, because that was still in the period of WrestleMania. So I was going to go with the finish of Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes as my worst. was so excited about it. And then it just didn't get to happen. So I was very disappointed that I didn't get to go on a rant last week. So unfortunately, sorry, everybody, rant missed.
I am still on that. I'm still like, wrong call, wrong call, wrong call.
But you know, there's a lot of people that are defending it, and it's happening. It's out. It's one of the things that I feel has gotten people the most split in a very long time.
Oh, people in the biz are defending it. And I think there's a question that keeps getting asked that I feel like there is an answer to. And they're asking the wrong question. I keep hearing people going, Paul Heyman said it. Bully Ray said it. They've both said, if Cody had won, what would be next for Cody? I don't know. The freaking thing he's doing right now.
To me, when people say that, I feel like it kind of buries the creative. You're already saying, they ain't going to come up with no ideas. That's it. There ain't no ideas. To me, that's like, whatever.
But the thing that gets me is, he's doing something right now. He could be doing that for the title. Meanwhile, Roman's not doing anything. So the question to me would be, if Roman retained, what's next for him? At the moment, the answer is nothing. He's not even on Backlash. We're not going to see him again until we get into the build for Night of Champions. But other than that, he's not around.
Now, here's something. So I was on Saturday, I was working this event with, it's MMA, right? So, but there's, you know, a lot of crossover with some people that work in that space that are wrestling fans. So I was talking to one guy in particular, and his reasoning for being a fan of the outcome was that he was happy that he couldn't predict. He said he felt it was too predictable when everybody was thinking that Cody Rhodes was going to win, and that he was happy when it wasn't predictable. And so that was his reasoning for actually, you know, enjoying the finish. And I had a couple of other people say the exact same thing. But then I had somebody else say, and this was yesterday on Busted Open, somebody else called in and they said that WWE's MO is to pretty much always, you know, do this to the fans, right? To kind of like think you're giving the moment and then don't give the moment. So then I'm thinking, okay, so then it was predictable if you think about it. So even though people were saying it was predictable for Cody Rhodes to win, had he won, it would have been predictable. But then at the same time, you can argue that it's also predictable that WWE stuck to their MO of always disappointing the fans.
I mean,
you can argue
I feel like
on that direction. On the
I feel like predictability. Factor. Yeah. And the thing is, I don't care about predictability if it's the right finish. I remember, look, I've been at this long enough to remember that in 2014, there were people screaming, man, what if like Daniel Bryan just lost to Triple H? How unpredictable would that be? Wouldn't that be unpredictable? Yeah, that also sucks. Who cares? Like, I don't care if it's unpredictable. I don't care if it's predictable. Give me the right outcome. Give me a good outcome. Maybe they have a better outcome down the line for whenever Roman loses the title, for whenever Cody Rhodes wins the title, if either of those things are going to happen. But as far as what happened at WrestleMania is concerned, you'll never get back a night with 80,000 fans in attendance with that much hype and anticipation. That was the most watched night of WrestleMania in the history of WrestleMania. You will never get those two things back. Maybe you'll have a better benchmark night, but you will never get that night back on Cody's first night challenging for the title. I've said this on Grapsity, but there's even a built-in storyline for Brock. Think about the fact that what was the stipulation at SummerSlam last year? That if Brock lost, he could never challenge again. He could never challenge Roman again for the title. What a built-in reason for Brock to attack Cody Rhodes, right? If Cody was champion and all of a sudden Brock has an opportunity now to go after the title. That writes itself. When you say what would be next for Cody Rhodes, that makes perfect sense. But no, we're still here. We're still doing this thing. We're going to get to our 1,000 days for Roman Reigns. They're going to make a graphic. It'll go up on social media. People will be like, hey, Roman Reigns made 1,000 days as champion. And then we'll move on. And
it's going to last about like, and you know, but it's going to bring back the argument though, Will.
Which one?
Just the general wrong call, right call type deal.
Yes, exactly.
And like, I don't know. Well, are you going to celebrate when Roman hits 1,000 days? Is that like a thing for you where you're going to be like, wow, that is so awesome. That is so incredible. Applause, applause, applause.
Denise.
I don't know, Will. I'm asking.
What do you
think?
What do you take me for? And I love Roman's run. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a great reign. I think you shouldn't book for benchmarks. That's my only thing. I think the benchmarks should come because things are working. You shouldn't go for it just to go for it. And I felt that way about many things. I thought because WWE has booked for benchmarks before. Like I always think about Nikki Bella as Divas Champion and setting that record and how they let her hold it too long simply to get her the record. Don't do that. Just book for the timing. And if you happen to get a record in the process, cool. But don't book for the record. That annoys me.
For the record, we got a super chat. Sheldon Jackson sends in one insane. Here we go. He says, Bound for Glory, Slammiversary, Rebellion, and Hard to Kill are Fight TV pay-per-views. Everything else is on Impact Plus.
Okay.
He explained it to you like a five-year-old. Thank you, Sheldon. You just moved up to the top of the list, Sheldon. Sheldon's the guy here.
Thank you,
Sheldon. We appreciate that, man. Thank you so much. Devil Kazuya says, Denise, worst, Taylor Swift and Joe Alwyn breakup. Will, I know you're not up to date with this world, but this happened when I was sick, by the way. And this is going to sound really weird to say out loud, but maybe you'll understand it as Mariah Carey fan. I don't know. But I went into a depression about that, by the way. Not like a massive depression, but like a little depression. I was so just heartbroken over this. I felt so heartbroken about this breakup. I was just laying there thinking about it. It was so sad. I don't want to talk about it. Devil Kazuya 27, thank you for sending this in.
Your business brain didn't go, ooh, more Taylor music.
No, you don't. It's hard to explain, Will. It's hard to explain. I don't even want to get into it because it'll be like a 40-minute discussion. But just know that I didn't take it so well. It's hard to explain unless you're a fan. We got Lab Gloss who sends in a super chat saying, what's more predictable, Cody winning his first shot or a rematch further down the line or another run win for Roman?
They're all predictable.
Okay.
Everything you said there is predictable. In the sense that
I think the question is which one's more likely to happen.
I know, but
I'm saying that his question should have been instead, which one is most likely to happen?
Oh, okay. I mean, the rematch further down the line, I guess. But again, I feel like, because going back to the predictability factor, that this question does bring up something interesting to me. Being that Cody lost in his first shot because people say that should have happened because it would have been predictable if he won. If he gets the rematch, isn't that also more predictable if it ends up happening, say, at SummerSlam?
Yeah, but Will, but here's the argument. The argument from other people, not me, by the way, but I'm just stating this. The argument, though, is that he hasn't had enough adversity for some people. Remember, that's the argument.
Yeah, and Cody cut a promo on that this week that was excellent.
So that's what I'm saying. So I think that because even though, yes, it would be more predictable, it would still be predictable in the rematch, at least now it would be defended in the way that it's like, well, he lost to WrestleMania, so, you know, he came back up and he's had his story of redemption. I don't know. Don't shoot the messenger here. I'm just telling you what the people are saying. CM Pepsi sends in a super chat saying, Roman till next Mania, I'm okay with it. Are you okay with it, Will?
I mean, okay with it in the sense that, will I deal with it? Sure, why not? Am I okay with it? No, I would like to see other heels in the challenger position. And the only way that happens is with a babyface as the champion. I would like to see the dynamic change. That's all.
Thank you, CM Pepsi, for sending in this super chat. All right, let's go ahead and get into our best and worst of the week. But here we go. We're kicking things off with a best of. And let's get into, I'm pulling up our banners here. I couldn't find them. Will, what's your third best of the week?
All right. So those of you who have been following me a long time, I see a few of you out there, know that I have been a very, very long time Trish Stratus fan.
Oh, yes. We had this discussion, you and I.
Yes. There's very few wrestlers whose careers I know better. Probably like five or six. Could probably name every match she's ever had and everything she's ever done in her career. Been a big Trish Stratus fan. One of the things I feel Trish Stratus does incredibly well is play a heel role. And it always sucked to me that as a pro wrestler, and I say this in the sense that when Trish first came in, she was obviously in a manager role, and then she went into the McMahon's kind of love slave role, and then eventually she got to break out and become a pro wrestler. But as a pro wrestler, she only really got to play a heel for like a year when she turned heel on Chris Jericho in 2004, and then she basically played a heel till like right after Backlash 05. And that's all we got to see of her as a heel. And but in that year, we got some great stuff. We got her trolling Lita and Kane's wedding. We got to see her going after Christy Hemme. We got to see her and Lita main event Raw with that first ever main event, that epic match between the two of them. We got to see her do a lot in that role. And then it was gone. And we've heard her say in interviews that she wants to play a heel again in her career. And she turned heel this week. And that made me very, very happy. So, of course, the storyline as it played out was that Lita was attacked backstage at Raw. And we knew that Lita and Becky Lynch had to defend their WWE Women's Tag Team titles against Raquel and Liv Morgan. Trish Stratus steps in to fill the role for Lita to help her defend the titles. And Trish ends up getting pinned in what I thought was actually a pretty good match for the tag titles and a great victory for Liv Morgan, somebody who once actually somewhat, I guess you could say, cosplayed as Trish Stratus on TV. She definitely had her attire be an homage to old school Trish at one point. And so to see her get that victory over Trish Stratus was a good moment for her. And now we have new tag team champions, Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. I will not get into how much it annoys me that we have another women's tag team made up of two people who are barely a tag team. That part doesn't matter here. After the match was over, though, Becky Lynch goes to console Trish over having just lost, and Trish takes her down, hits her with a chick kick, and there's so many places this feud can go, and I am excited about it. Trish Stratus turned heel. That's my number three here. There's places I want to see this go. Hell, I thought about the fact that if I could fantasy book this for a second, I've had so many ideas. Like thinking about how Trish Stratus talked about why she retired from pro wrestling. Do you remember why she retired from pro wrestling in 2006?
Was it because she wanted to go and like start a family or something?
Exactly. Because back then, women couldn't do both. It was either be a mom, have the family, or have a career. Meanwhile, Becky has gotten to have it all. And wouldn't that be every single reason for Trish to feel just a certain way about one Becky Lynch? The fact that
Oh
Becky
man,
Lynch.
are we gonna get into that territory?
I would love to see that because
Yeah.
it's a pretty valid reason for somebody to be upset. Becky gets to bring her kid on the road. Becky gets to have her husband by her side.
That's not bad, honestly.
Yeah, Becky I mean, she got herself her own bus to basically be able to take care of her kid while on the road. Trish Stratus didn't get any of that. Trish Stratus had to stop wrestling to start a family, to have all of that. And again, to top all that off, Trish looks like she hasn't lost a beat. And so I am all in on this. I'm very happy. Trish Stratus turned heel. I'm good with this.
So yeah, I know that you're a really big Trish fan, and this was just to give a little background. So you and I forgot which WrestleMania were we talking about this? Well, one of the WrestleMania rewinds that you and I did, we were talking about like, you know, whether or not, like, I knew you're a big Trish fan even back then. I never was a Trish fan, like ever. I was always, you know, I was just more of like a Lita fan. I was a Chyna fan. I was never a Trish fan, and I think the reason for that was because I didn't see her like. She wasn't cool to me. I don't know how else to explain this, but to me, cool were Chyna and Lita and like those type of women.
Trish
And
Stratus had
so
Lil' Kim performing her theme song. How is she not
she
cool?
wasn't cool for me. Like
Okay,
she,
I
I
get
think
it. I
she
get it.
wasn't relatable to me as a young female. I didn't relate to Trish Stratus. Like to me, she just wasn't cool. And so I
I
didn't
think
actually.
you're describing cool kind of in a
More as in like, yeah, because you got to keep in mind where I was at during this time. I was a young girl, and so to me, cool was, a badass chick. It
So
wasn't
more like a,
necessarily.
so less alt in I mean, so more alt and less like kind of,
Yes,
for better,
yes.
for lack of a better term, less mainstreamy. And she has
Right.
a very mainstream
More
look.
of that like appeal, right? And so I was never really a fan of hers. Like that wasn't what I was drawn to. That like I had no connection with her as a female viewer. I just did not have a connection with Trish Stratus. And so I think it's different for, every type of fan, but for me, I just never had that connection. And the only time that I can say I was not even a Trish fan, but that I was interested in what she was doing was because I was freaking obsessed, and I mean obsessed with Mickie James. Mickie
Oh,
James
okay.
to me was just, and to this day, I still think she's brilliant, and I don't think she gets any of the credit that she deserves. But that feud with her and Trish Stratus was the first time I was legitimately interested in something with that regarded Trish Stratus. But the reason I was so interested in it was because of Mickie James. Like I had never seen a character like Mickie that was, out there, and she was, psycho and crazy, and she was just so cool, and like the way she dressed, I thought was really cool. And so I didn't understand the in fact like the making out part. Like obviously I was a kid, so I was like, what's happening here? I don't know what's going on. I was new to this world and all of that. But that was the first time I was legitimately interested in her. So I feel like I started respecting Trish once I got older. Once I got older and I looked back at like things that Trish had done, I'd seen it differently, I saw her differently, but in real time, I wasn't a fan.
So you
Looking
know what's
back now, I do respect and admire what Trish Stratus did, but I didn't feel that way at the time.
See, you know what it was for me. It was I can explain all of Trish's appeal for me
I was gonna say, I
at
think a
perfect
lot
timing.
of people here could explain the
Hold
appeal.
on, hold on. It may not go the way you're thinking. Like, sure, it happened to be the fact that I was 12 when Trish showed up, and look, it's Trish Stratus on my TV. Who can, you
Little
know?
Will. Little Will
Yeah,
with like
exactly.
little eyes, little hearts popping out of your eyes.
But this is the interesting thing. So I talk about Trish's evolution as a performer. So of course, like, look, 12-year-old, 13-year-old me was like, oh my God, look at Trish Stratus. Seeing her on TV, this is the first, like, all anybody had to show me was cleavage when I was 13, and I'm like, yes. But when she started to make that transition to being an in-ring performer, and being a good in-ring performer was right around the time that I started making the transition as a fan to appreciating in-ring work. And so it was like this perfect combination of her having the sex appeal to a 13-year-old, but then all of a sudden, as I'm starting to turn 14, and she's starting to have these matches with Victoria, with Jazz, with Molly Holly, all those feuds she was having in 2002, that was just the perfect transformation of a performer, because she could have very easily gone the way a lot of models have in professional wrestling, which is that, you know, they're there for to be eye candy, but for the most part, the ring work is subpar. But she turned it around and became the top at her craft while also being the strongest of sex appeal in WWE. And so it was like this perfect combination of performer for me. And yeah, I just my fandom never stopped. I was just an obsessive Trish fan after that, and that's exactly why. It was that transformation she made to in-ring performer. Had she not made that transition, I might have turned into a snob about it and be like, oh, well, Trish Stratus doesn't perform in the ring. But it was
Stratus.
but she did. She became this great in-ring performer, and she became everybody's best match at that time period. She was Molly Holly's best matches. She was Victoria's best matches. And she's Trish Stratus. And so at this point, she's iconic in terms of professional wrestling to me. And I have met her like 3 or 4 times, and it's always been fantastic every time I did. She signed multiple things for me. I have another one around here somewhere, and I have an action figure up there
Will, we get it.
and a
We get
pop
it,
figure
Will.
that signed
Will,
right. Where's the signed pop?
stop.
It's
We
over there.
get
It's
it.
over there. It's
Will,
over there.
time out.
Anyway, nope. I'm doing this. Look, I am a Trish Stratus fan. So her heel turn did it all for me. Love Trish. And that's my number 3 this week.
Anyway, so really quickly, I did get, because I only watched the highlights this week for Raw. And so I did watch the turn and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to like all of the different, like you said, directions that they can go in with that. We got Reggie Simmons who sends in a super chat. Thank you so much to Reggie who says, just showing support, CM Punk discourse on Twitter has fried my brain. LOL, have a great show. Well, the CM Punk discourse, you can get into so many different layers and facets of it all just because so much is involved in it. It's a complicated situation. I mean, damn, I feel like we've been obviously talking about all of the CM Punk stuff, the Elite stuff since everything went down. And what can I say, man? It's been a very interesting conversation all the time. Do you have anything new you want to add to this, Will? I feel like I've exhausted everything I've ever had to say about CM Punk and the Elite until something really new comes out. New.
I mean, I'm glad it's all finally out there about the potential brand split stuff with AEW Collision happening. And
do you agree? Do you agree with the brand split? Do you think it's a good idea? Because I don't think it's a good idea. I think
it's a disastrous idea. But yeah. What are we going to do here? If that's the only way we can make this work. Now, Reg brought up a good point to me. And maybe he's right about this side of it. One of the biggest complaints I tend to have about Dynamite is that Dynamite works on kind of this like every other week basis where certain things will happen and then the following week other things will happen that aren't really related to the last set of things, and then we kind of alternate each week. And if we can get less of that where both shows can then function on a week to week to week basis, I think that would make for a better show than what we get right now. Like, I like Dynamite, but I do think that I want to see the show flow week to week to week rather than the alternating week stuff. And if the doing a split show gets us that, that might not be so bad.
How do you feel about investing an additional day of basically watching another 2-hour program? How do you think that's going to change your schedule for the week? Keep in mind that you're a dad, your father, Will. I know your kids are wrestling fans, but still, how does that impact your life? Because for me, it's a lot. It's definitely a lot.
Denise,
I like to have breaks, Will.
We're talking about Monday, Raw, Tuesday, NXT, Wednesday, Dynamite, Thursday. I mean, maybe you'll get a break, but some people watch Impact, ROH, Friday, SmackDown, and Rampage, Saturday, AEW Collision. Not to mention, WWE PLEs are on Saturdays. And then AEW does their pay-per-views on Sundays. Maybe you'll get a break on Sundays. Sometimes you won't. Either way, that's a lot of
wrestling. And this is not even including all the other wrestling that there is out there, by the way.
Yes, that's a lot. Now, this is what AEW wants. AEW has wanted... They don't want to be supplemental programming for WWE. That was the goal from day one. They wanted their own ecosystem. Everybody who's... Besides WCW, they were the only promotion that existed in their own ecosystem, whereas Impact has always kind of positioned themselves as supplemental programming to WWE. And AEW wants to see themselves as, if you just watch our programming, you'll be fine. You could literally just watch AEW shows and you would still have Elevation Mondays, Dark Tuesdays, Dynamite Wednesdays, ROH Thursdays, Rampage Fridays, Collision on Saturdays. You could watch nothing but AEW programming and still get 7 days worth or 6 days worth of your week, sometimes seven if there's a pay-per-view. And that's ideally what they want. They don't want to be seen as a show that, hey, you could watch us when you're not watching WWE. They want to be your replacement for it. And so in that sense, doing another show works. It's all really, really interesting. May 17th is reportedly the day. That's the day of the Warner upfronts. And they're going to make a lot of announcements. What this tells me, because the money isn't there to do a second show as it currently exists with their current deal. So doing a second full-time 2-hour show tells me that they secured a new TV deal. And it's got to be for significantly more money than what they're getting currently, because under the current deal, that's not going to work. So, we'll find out at the Warner upfronts how this works, but they may be spreading their fans too thin. Guess we'll see.
I don't know. I think like there's a lot of pros and cons to this. I would say that one of the cons, and this was just me thinking, I feel like if you do this like separation of the roster, I don't know. Like I kind of worry that, because if you're gonna, let's just say like you have CM Punk, people that are okay with working with CM Punk on one show and maybe whatever, like I feel like it may cause like, how do I explain it? Like, this separation where it's like, oh, well, those people are on their show. That means they're on CM Punk's side, And with all of that type of stuff, like, I just feel like that has to probably cause, I don't know, some drama. Did like, are we thinking about this? Am I the only person who thought about this? I don't
No, I've
know.
thought about that. I mean, there's a lot of people in the locker room. I had a good conversation with somebody on Thursday, and there's a few people in the locker room that don't care. They are
Right,
just
exactly.
like,
Some people just want to get on a show, but that doesn't mean that everybody knows that.
true. I don't know. I mean, like at this point, this may solve like the TV issue. What are you gonna do about pay-per-views, though?
They would have to do joint pay-per-views regardless, right?
Right.
Right?
This
No?
could blow up everything, or it could work out. I don't know. I don't know. I see a lot of questions in the chat about what does this mean for Rampage? I think people don't understand what Rampage was always supposed to be. Rampage was always supposed to function as Dynamite's third hour. It was never supposed to be its own thing. Because I see people going, well, why don't they just make this Rampage? Tony Khan said from day one, Rampage was supposed to be an additional amount of content from Dynamite. He compared it in the first podcast he did talking about it. He compared it to Heat. He did not compare it to SmackDown. And I think that that's how I've always looked at Rampage, is more compared to Sunday Night Heat. And in that sense, Rampage can stay that. I don't think Rampage is affected by any of this.
Alrighty, and let's go ahead and press on from here. So mine's really quick for my third best of the week, by the way.
Let's go.
Simon, as we were talking about Impact Wrestling earlier, I'm going with something from Impact this week.
Ooh.
I know, ring the bell, something new on this show. And I think once you know exactly what I'm going with, I think you'll get exactly why. Sometimes I just like to sit back and have a pleasing match unfold right before my eyes. I like to have a good time. What can I say? I watch the sports that I can just chill and have a good time. And anytime you got me, marking out or whatever, it's always a good time for me. So with that being said, I'm giving this one to the four-way match that they had with a Laredo Kid defeating Lince Dorado, Black Taurus, and Rich Swann. This one was really cool. The finish, we ended up seeing a top rope Spanish fly, which was fun. This one to me was just a good time. Very enjoyable. That's all I ask for sometimes. I just want to sit back and enjoy what I'm watching on the screen. And this gave me just that. So that was a very quick one for me. Will, what was your second best of the week?
Second best of the week. I'm gonna have to go with the match that opened AEW Dynamite. No, I know what you're thinking, folks. You're just picking this because your cousin's in it. And you might be right, but man, am I always happy with seeing Swerve do his thing as a heel on TV. This match opened up Dynamite in Milwaukee. We saw Darby Allin go one-on-one with Swerve Strickland. And I've told Tony Khan this, that I've told multiple people this, that I think Dynamite is best when it has things that kind of flow throughout the show, when it's like it's not just when there's at least one storyline that takes up multiple segments and
Like weaves in and out, yeah.
That weaves in and out. I was very high the last few weeks seeing the
The
BCC Elite
BCC, yeah.
stuff, take up multiple spots in the show. And it was kind of nice to see that bringing Swerve back to Dynamite included using him in the opening, then doing a middle segment, and then rounding out the show with him. I thought that that was a cool way to bring a different storyline there. But the match itself, Darby Allin versus Swerve Strickland, was such a smart match in the sense of continuing to tell the story of Darby Allin and Swerve and their going after their past, going after the fact that Swerve feels he created Darby Allin, and that anything Darby Allin does is just a testament to what Swerve was able to do to bring Darby to this level. And again, I just think these two have so much chemistry. Darby launching himself at Swerve in the beginning again. It felt like it's been forever since we've seen Darby go full speed at his suicide dive, and seeing Swerve take it the way he did. Also, the Poison Rana off the ring apron looked amazing. But then the match kind of took a turn going into commercial break, and we come back, and it's really Darby working over Swerve's foot, and he literally bit that man's foot. And removed his shoe, he worked over the foot, and it became kind of a more cerebral match for Darby Allin. And this was, you know, when you hear that these two are going to go at it, and they've been at it in the indies a million times. If you search Darby Allin and Swerve, there's multiple full matches you can get. They've gone at it for 40 minutes. These two have slaughtered each other on the indies. And you know what they can do together. But to do it this way, in a very interesting storytelling type way, I thought was really fun to watch. It gave us a different side of Darby Allin. And on top of that, it showed Swerve kind of fighting from behind in a very heel fashion. But at the same time, getting him back on TV to establish the Mogul Embassy. I was really happy with this. This was great TV.
Well, Will, I knew we were going to have this similar, because this was also my second best of the week. You covered a lot of it. I just want to say that for me, the reason why it was on this list was, first of all, you already kind of ran down some of the chemistry, or like rather the history that leads to the good chemistry between Darby and Swerve. And that really, really does show. And it definitely showed in this match. And for me, it was like literally right off the bat, you see Darby go in there with like so much energy, like a stunner, and this freaking dive that he did. I mean, we need like, someone just put that out in a GIF, excuse me, on Twitter. And obviously I had already seen it on TV, but I then seen it afterwards on sometimes when you see things on a GIF, sometimes it doesn't hit the same way as it did like when you were watching it first. But, and so I wanted to see, okay, am I still going to be impressed by this dive if I watch it in GIF format? And can you still get the context of the whole, like, can you still get the impact right in this GIF? Hell yeah, you do, by the way. That freaking dive that Darby did right at the bat, like right off the beginning of it, man, I was so into that. But then Darby like literally going in and doing like a swanton right afterwards. It was just like back to back to back things that I think kind of kicked in the match into like a really nice like high gear. And I even put this on Twitter, and it was like the best way that I could explain it was like Darby is being extra Darby today, in that way that I felt like he was just adding more, he was just hitting things like more, like it felt like he went in there with an extra pep in his step, you know. And that's not saying that Darby doesn't usually have that, but he just, I don't know, man, like dude looked really excited to be in this match and was just hitting things extra harder. And that was definitely enjoyable to see. I like Swerve, you know, basically taking off the belt and then smacking Darby with it. I thought that was pretty cool. The freaking reverse Hurricanrana that he did on the outside Darby.
Right, that was, one
that
about,
was yeah. really freaking crazy too. Like all of those things, there was just so many different facets of this match that I really enjoyed. And even with the embassy coming in and getting involved here, I didn't feel like it was, you know, I felt like it was fine. Like I was not really into the Mogul affiliates, because I just didn't really, I don't know, I was kind of like not really into the pairing, Will, and I know you know this, we know this, but I feel like I'm definitely liking this direction a whole lot more than where we were at previously.
Yeah, I think it's much better. It's a much better fit, and I think we're going to see more out of that. Speaking of Swerve, by the way, Triple Mania 31 tonight. He's got the main event with Vikingo Commander,
dude,
Rich Swann, yep, and Swerve in that for the AAA Mega Championship. That'll be cool.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure to watch that, because I need to see that.
That seems like your type of match. That
I know. It's very obvious the things that I like, man. And you know, some people try to shame me on that, by the way. I don't like that shit, you know? Like what you like, man. I don't like when people are like, oh, you only like this, you only like that. Shut up, man. Like, it's supposed to be entertaining stuff, man.
No, you know, honestly, the most endearing thing I heard going that I – am sad I missed. Of all the things I missed at WrestleMania weekend, everybody was telling me.
The Ring of Honor match, right?
Yeah, everybody's telling me. And I saw the match. Oh, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about you watching the match. Everybody was like, you had to see Denise watching Commander versus Vikingo.
Who was watching me when they should have been watching the match?
They're like, Denise going nuts watching this match. Over the Moon was like almost as much of a highlight of the match as the match itself.
Who are you hearing this from? Who are these people that
there's
are watching
multiple people
me?
In the section by you. Sean, Phil, Reg. Like, everybody's like, Denise going nuts for this match was just as entertaining as watching the match itself.
By the way, I'm going to say this one thing, and I know some people are going to criticize this, but when it comes to like being press and wrestling, I'm never that person that just like sits there. If I'm legitimately excited about something, I'm going to react to it, okay? Like, I'm first and foremost a freaking fan. So first and foremost, if I'm enjoying something and you're able to get me out of my seat, you're damn well I will get up out of my seat, man.
Yeah, I know. I don't like the idea. I mean, I get it if you're covering a legitimate sport. Yes, you must sit there and be objective.
I have a story on that, by the way, Will.
Oh, no.
So my first time that I was covering Bellator, I was sitting next to Mark Raimondi, who's a freaking expert, brilliant guy, such a nice guy. So during something, I kind of did like a little like clap. And I just felt Mark put his hand down like this. He just pushed my hand down. And I was like, and he looked at me and he's like, and I was like, oh, sorry. It was so funny, though, because I'm so used to, like, in wrestling, it's okay. I don't give a damn. You know, I don't care. Like, I'm going to react. But when you do, you know, you're talking about, how do I say this? You know, non-scripted sports, you know, and you got to be, you know, a certain way, then obviously you got to change your behavior.
Well, a big piece of it is because with wrestling, it doesn't matter, right? Like, it's all predetermined. So you're basically just applauding the performance, what you're seeing. You're reacting in a way that they're supposed to. But on the other hand, when you're covering legitimate sports, you're not supposed to have a dog in that fight. You're not necessarily. And so they see it as a taking a side and cheering on somebody to win. And that's not necessarily how you're supposed to do it in a place where it's not predetermined. I know this having covered the Denver Nuggets as a Denver Nuggets fan and not being able to cheer my team while I am in the building because I was media at the time. And I'm just like, I just want to stand up and chant, let's go Nuggets, but I have to sit here and act like I don't care if the Lakers win this game. No, right. I freaking care that the Lakers lose this game. Speaking of which, go Nuggets. They do play the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight.
And see, with wrestling, I see it differently too, because I see it as a form of respect.
Yeah.
If you're going out there and you're doing something and obviously you want to get a certain reaction from the crowd, who am I to like not partake in that, you know? I'm sorry.
Right.
Like, be honest, Will, are you going to like, let's not even talk about this. Let's just say, I don't know, somebody else that you watch a podcast of. Are you going to stop watching someone's podcast because you found out that they clapped and cheered during a match?
No, but I'm also not an idiot. But I recognize that there are people who would do that. So
definitely not my style. I'm going to go out
like,
there.
Oh, Denise, you're such
a
mark.
Damn time. Yeah.
No, honestly, though, that really actually made me happy hearing how much you were into that match.
But then it kind of sucks too, because you can tell when I'm not as interested in something, because then I'll just be like, cool. But when I'm really interested in something, you'll know it. I was going to say one more thing and now I kind of forgot, but anyways, well, now I'm glad that everyone's talking about me behind my back. Couldn't say it to my face, Will.
Positively.
I don't care. Say it to my face. All right. But I was really going to say something and now I freaking forgot. But anyways, Orion Ben 666 sends in a super chat saying, how many pom-poms do you have on you? Dude, freaking Sting was out there looking like a magician bringing out them pom-poms.
I know, I'm in sweatpants, so I wouldn't be able to fit that many on me right now.
I don't own any pom-poms. I'm sorry. Ray Rock sends in a super chat saying, chipping in for Will's pay, best duo in the IWC period. Thank you so much, Ray, for that. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Seriously. All right. And we got one from Devil Kazuya who says, my worst BC Gold promo Jay White. Oh, okay. Jay White deserves better. What are we talking about here?
Okay.
Hold on. So, I'm a slowing process right now.
Oh, he's talking about the fact that it was the Jay White cutting the promo on Dynamite announcing the Bullet Club Gold.
Oh, I didn't think that was bad.
I didn't think it was bad either. I'm in wait and see mode.
All right.
Yes, I would like to see Jay White do something else other than Bullet Club. So them announcing Bullet Club Gold as a part of AEW, I just it's even weird to me even having the Elite and the Bullet Club in the same company, considering what the Elite even is. And so I hope you don't go too far without doing something with that. I don't know. Well, I'm in wait and see mode. I'm not gonna down on it just yet, but Bullet Club Gold being a thing in AEW is a little odd when there's already so much faction stuff going on.
Wildebeest says, did either of you watch Swerve versus Nick Wayne for the Defy title? Swerve, Wayne, Darby, Brian Danielson, all making us proud here in the Pacific Northwest. Will, I didn't get to watch it. Thoughts?
Yep, it just dropped on YouTube on Thursday, and yes, I did watch it. This was one I recommend set aside some time to watch this one. It's very long, but this was the performance that if you weren't sure if Nick Wayne was ready for TV, give this a watch, and I think you'll feel pretty positively going forward as to what he has to offer. And especially considering Nick Wayne's first Dynamite match is July 12th against Swerve Strickland on Dynamite. So give yourself a taste of what could be to come. This was a bloody affair. This was very, very good. And you also get to see a bit more of that sadistic side of Swerve that he's really been trying to bring out as a heel character. Defy has really let him play around with that and have fun with it. It's a great match. And if you've never seen their first match, I recommend watching that one first because there's a lot of callbacks to that first one in this match. And you really get to see Nick Wayne get his revenge for everything that took place there. And he's the new Defy champion. So Pacific Northwest winning. Matter of fact, I thought about the Pacific Northwest in this first match when Darby faced Swerve because the referee was Aubrey Edwards, also from the Pacific Northwest. That whole match was actually an homage to the PNW, and I liked that a lot.
Well, DeBeast, thank you so much for the super chat, and good to know that it's on YouTube as well. So it makes it really easier to
Oh, yeah.
watch. Also, speaking of which, if you want to get to know Nick Wayne a lot more, I did an in-studio interview with him. You guys can check that out here on my YouTube channel. Just type in Denise Salcedo, Nick Wayne. It's a really great interview, really good insight, and because it's in studio, it just looked better. You get just a different. It's a totally different vibe when you're doing an in-person interview than via on screen.
That was such
So
a great
thank you.
time doing all the in-studio stuff
Yeah, it was.
at
It
Blue
definitely
Wire.
was. Caden C sends in a super chat saying, Denise, watching the Lucha Brothers and LFI was so fun. Why is everybody watching me? Don't nobody watch me anymore. I'm not gonna react anymore. That's it. I'm just gonna stand there for every match like this. I'm gonna have a poker face.
You kidding me? You
There.
promote watch-alongs. Why would you not want people watching you watch
It's
stuff?
different when I'm promoting. Okay, if you're gonna watch me in the watch along, not at the actual show. It's
Are you
different.
saying
It's
watch me
weird.
where it makes me money?
Watch me where it makes me money. There you go. Thank you, Will. That's gonna be my slogan. Watch me where it makes me money, okay? I don't make money if you watch me at the show. Bro, I got rent to pay. I got bills. I'm trying to get some savings here. Anyways, Jared sends
Hey, I think you're onto something though. You
What?
gotta live stream your reactions at live events.
Oh, no.
No,
I don't
come
want to
on,
do that in
dude.
person. No. Have you ever seen those influencers that like go everywhere with their phone and are like,
Yes.
okay, so here's, oh, that's very annoying to me, okay? And I vlog.
Oh, yeah, have somebody else do it. Have,
No. I just feel like it would look like I'm so full of myself if I do that.
Again, you don't have to do anything. Anybody else just sitting there filming you the whole time.
No,
I
because
think there's money in
then
that.
I'm gonna feel like a fucking
Print.
like, what do you call those? A trained seal. I'm gonna be like, burr, 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 burr. I don't wanna be a trained seal, Will. All right, so only watch me on watch-alongs. All right, Jared sends in a super chat saying, my worst of the week, break Karen Breaker, Baker, constantly burying Thunder Rosa on All Access, but that's every week. I haven't watched not one episode of All Access. Will, you seem like the type of person who's watched All Access. Am I wrong or am I right here?
What is that supposed to mean? Yes, I have watched it. Yes.
Yeah,
but,
I know that.
But the as a matter of fact, I talked about on Grap City, my little bit of a markout moment for myself. Was there's a moment on this week's episode where Tony Schiavone and Britt Baker are sitting at a table having lunch, and then Tony Schiavone's like, did you see what Tony said about Thunder Rosa? And they pull up a quote from Tony Schiavone or from Tony Khan about his answer on the media call about the interim title. And I was like, I asked that question. That was my question. I influenced this show. I helped make a moment happen in this show. So that was fun. Other than that, I mean, I like the show in general as a, just a look behind the scenes of pro wrestling in general. I think it's a bad idea to have immediately after Dynamite, because I think to be watching Dynamite and then go, okay, now that stuff you were just watching, here's how we're going to break it down and show you that it's not real. I don't think wrestling needs to fully present itself as real, but I just think that this show should be used to get people into wrestling, not be used to get people into reality. And
so do you like the show?
I think it's great. Yeah, I think it's great. I think, you know, a lot of it has been centered around like following around Sammy Guevara. Somebody had pointed out that your interview with Ty did some tie in with some of the things that were because all of this stuff was filmed around, it's all like Full Gear ish back in November, right? And so, like, you know, Ty Conti is talking about how, you know, she's concerned that her relationship with Sammy Guevara has derailed her career a little bit. There's concerns about that in the show, because she mentions how she was on, like, she did this run of pay-per-views where she was the challenger to Britt Baker at Full Gear. She challenged Jade Cargill at Revolution at Double or Nothing last year. She was in the tag match with Paige VanZant. And then they put her on screen and made her a heel with Sammy Guevara. And since then, she's felt like she hasn't really gotten any performance roles. And she's like, was it a mistake putting our relationship out there? And that stuff that, like, you know, is actually really interesting to follow. We got to see Sammy really talking about putting together a match with three of his idols, which I never even considered. You and I sat and watched that match together, and we loved that match. It was one of our favorite matches of the night. At Full Gear, the Sammy Guevara, Brian Danielson, Claudio, and a Chris Jericho match, right?
It was one of my favorite matches of the night.
Right, and I never even considered that, like, Sammy is in there with three guys that he, like, grew up watching, and, like, you know, he's... And he's like, if I shit the bed tonight, this is a problem, because he was like, if something goes wrong in this match, everybody's going to see it as my fault, because no one's going to put that on Daniels. No one's going to put that on Jericho. No one would dare put that on Claudio. They're all going to see this as my problem. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't even thought of that. Like, it's made Sammy an endearing person. I'll say that. He's really been the focus of the last few episodes of now we get why he canceled the vlog, because he's really had to focus on filming this show and filming his way into getting back, his way into building his reputation back up. You see his makeup with Eddie Kingston. They filmed that. It's been pretty good. Like, obviously it's reality TV, so you know that they're doing a lot for the cameras. But I just, as a look behind the curtain, putting together matches, things along those lines, seeing Sammy and Brian Danielson talk about their 2 out of 3 falls match, I think it's a great show for that reason.
Nitro Dust sends in a super chat saying, Denise, would Jade Cargill defeat Big Mommy? I don't know. I don't know, actually. I have no idea. We got a super chat here from Cadence. This says, time for me to start vlogging Denise's reactions. No, Cadence's not going to make money off of me. Anime Otaku 2 says, Denise is becoming the anti-Liv Morgan. I don't get it. How am I the anti-Liv Morgan? Does she vlog like 24/7 or something?
I don't know. I have no idea what you mean by that, Anime Otaku.
Okay, CM Pepsi says, you're not a seal, but a fool to pass on that idea. Nah, nah, I don't want
These are clearly people who all want to see your live reactions to matches.
No, I refuse. Tune into the watch-alongs. Launchpad sends in a super chat saying, Hollywood Salcedo and reality TV personality Will Washington. We should have a reality show. Are you down for that, Will?
I don't know, maybe.
Oh, all of a sudden? All of a
I mean,
sudden.
look, honestly, the last few events that I'm not going to talk about what they are, but the events of my life recently
We'd
have
have
been
some
reality
good
TV
footage
worthy.
for the reality show. Let's
Yes.
leave it at that. We'd have some good footage.
We would.
David Kaplan sends in a super chat saying, "Hi Denise, if you heard Taylor Swift would be if you heard Taylor Swift would be performing at a concert like a halftime show at Crown Jewel, would you go?" I wouldn't have to because she wouldn't go. So it's pretty simple. Yeah. It's pretty simple. All right, so let's go ahead and press on from here. We got another super chat from Cadence Cesar says, "Wow, Denise, you're totally in your Reputation era." I never left the Reputation era. I was born into the Reputation era. All right. I know, Will, you don't get it. You're out on this one. You're out of the loop of this one. All right. So let's go ahead and press on from here. And let's see what else we got next. It's time for our worst of the week, right?
Yep.
Yep. All right. Here we go. Will, what's your worst of the week? Oh, okay. Jared says, "Live is watch me." Denise says, "Don't watch me." I get it now. Thank you. That one needed some explanation, Jared. Sorry. But thank you so much for the super chat. All right. Will, your worst of the week.
So, Rampage came on after the NBA play-in game between the Bulls and the Heat. Shout out to the Bulls for really fighting and staying in there as long as they could, but the Heat pulled out the victory. They walked away, going on to the playoffs. And then I watched Rampage. I actually enjoyed Aussie Open versus Best Friends. FTR cut that promo. They talked about being or sticking around for another 4 years. That was cool stuff. Seeing Taya, she's been really showing out on AEW TV. Great stuff. But then we got this rap segment, JAS.
I like this hat. I like this hat.
I get it. I get that it's easy heat to rap badly, but that never makes it good. And there has to be a new way to do this, where like this idea that people who are bad at rap are like stuck in 1984 when they do it, and it wasn't like good bad. Like remember when Kurt Angle like rapped against John Cena, and it was like
Please, Kurt Angle is a comedy genius, okay?
comedy genius. Great stuff. But I thought this just stunk so bad. I love Matt Menard. I love Angelo Parker. And I actually thought the least offensive person in this segment was Jake Hager. But regardless, this just stunk. I didn't feel like any of this was hitting. Maybe it did hit. How did you describe it, Denise? You called it. Okay, we'll finish
Okay,
that
fine.
sentence.
You can say it on the air. You know what? I'll say it. I'm gonna be honest with what my re okay with that. Okay, fine. Well, let me just say I'm also picking it as worst of the week. I didn't really have anything
Really?
to put, and so I was like, "Fuck it, I'm going with this." When you sent me the video, because I did my d Sling only recorded up to a certain point because it had recorded
Okay.
most of the game, so it
Because the
didn't
game ran
record
long, yeah.
right exactly. So I didn't get to watch everything. I was so happy that the only thing I really cared about was that Taya match with Emmy. To me, that was like the best thing on Rampage, but I didn't get to watch everything else. So then you messaged me and you were like, "Oh, you didn't watch the Jazz segment," and I'm like, "No." But the second you said it was the JAS, I'm like, "Oh, I already know this is gonna stink." Whatever. So I watched the video. Will sent me the video, and I'm very sorry. I don't want to offend anybody, but I said, "This is some white boy comedy," and that was the end of that.
And that's probably why it didn't hit for me.
It's not my comedy either. I'm sorry. This was just. Will, I have a confession to make.
Okay.
And I have a confession to make that I feel I need to let out. And I'm sorry if I get canceled for this, but I am not a fan of the Jericho Appreciation Society.
Oh,
I've
I thought
tried.
it was canceled. Oh, okay. No,
No,
this is fine. Go ahead.
I've tried. There's been some things that I've liked. Don't get me wrong. There's been some things that I've enjoyed. But I've gotten recently to the point where I can't stand the Jericho Appreciation Society, and not in a good way. Like in a way where I'm like, "Oh, this is irritating now." And so when I watch this, I'm just thinking, Oh God, this is painful. I'm sorry. I tried. I really did try. I'm not a fan.
Yeah,
Please don't cancel me.
no, I mean, look, I think that I'm hoping very soon here, like
Snap,
if
crackle, pop says hashtag not all white boys.
look, I think that I mean, hopefully, with Jericho having this rumored upcoming feud with CM Punk coming up, which has a lot of legitimate personal drama, that we put the Jericho Appreciation Society to bed, because I think that feud cannot center around sports entertainment and bullshit. That feud has to have a focus on the personal drama between CM Punk and Chris Jericho. It can't be this. It can't be silly segments. It can't be any of this. Like, it's been a year now. Look, Jericho Appreciation Society literally started the Wednesday after Revolution. It's been a year. I'm done. There's one piece I liked here, which was the Acclaimed coming out and being like, fuck it. Like, there's no time for raps now, and going to beat their asses. But then they went to cut off Daddy Magic's nipples. And like, was that actually going to happen? Was that was
I did like when Bowens was like, you and your, I forgot how he said it, but like, you and your nasty nipples. I did laugh at that. Nasty nipples got me.
then he says Billy Gunn, they grabbed the scissors. Were they gonna cut off Daddy Magic's nipples? Is that what was gonna happen here?
Maybe they were gonna trim his nipple hair. We don't know.
My son's been stuck on this, by the way, for the last like 2 days. He's been
He
like,
really thought
Dad.
they were gonna cut off his nipples.
He asked me, he's like, Dad, was Billy Gunn really gonna cut off Matt Menard's nipples? And I'm like, I don't know if that was going to be the payoff here, but
No,
scissor
Will,
me,
there's an
Daddy
easy
ass, I
way to
guess.
explain this. You just tell your son they were just trying to scare him, son. And so they
Yeah.
proved that he's a chicken, they're chickens by being afraid.
I
Because how are you going to
suppose.
tell a kid that there's a good possibility that, well, not a good possibility, but how are you going to explain to a kid that, hey, they were going to cut off his nipples with scissors here?
I don't know. Either way, I didn't enjoy the segment. I don't enjoy the JAS at this stage, and I definitely don't enjoy rap parodies when they're not well thought out. And I didn't think this one was well
You
thought
didn't
out.
think I like this hat was like great songwriting, earn an award type deal?
Again, that was the part I was least offended by. It was predictable. I was like, oh, he's gonna mention the hat. Let's see if he does it. And then he did it a second time. I think had he just stuck with it the first time, I would have been good. But it's like, oh, they didn't even have a second piece of material here.
No, but
This.
it's bad because okay, so Cross, by the way, Chaos Control says Denise sets herself up to be canceled only to drop a cold take. Look, I don't people get a okay, here's the thing. There's people that you think would not have a huge fan base, and then, or how do I explain this? Like, there's people that you think that everyone thinks that you don't like them, but then all of a sudden you say it and then you get canceled for it. Like, have you ever tweeted, you don't have to give an example, but have you ever tweeted something where you thought a lot of people were going to agree with you and then instead everybody shit on you?
Not
Or
anymore
like their
because
stance came after you?
I can't look. This happens to me every freaking week now with every take I have. And
That's what I'm
so,
saying.
yeah, at this point, I just recognize that when I put my takes out there, I know what's going to happen. There's going to be somebody who disagrees.
That's what I'm saying. So I knew that there was going to be like, I don't know, hardcore jazz stans coming after me or something. But you know, it's gotten really bad though. I think the final straw for me was that freaking, God, what was that show? The show that they were promoting when they when
Oh, Impractical Jokers.
Impractical Jokers. That was it. I was the SpongeBob meme. I got up and I was like, I'm out. That was it. That was the final straw for me on the Jericho Appreciation Society. I'm not gonna continue further with this because then I'm just gonna keep burying myself 6 feet. Okay, so we got a super chat here from Grapple Geekery who says, I have said it before, I love everyone in the JAS. I hate the JAS. It has Drug Garcia, Ty, and Anna Jay down. Oh, dragged Garcia, Ty,
Yeah.
and Anna Jay down and
Drug
put
was right
Rick
there.
Starks in limbo.
Yeah, I'll say one thing. I think Daniel Garcia is showing some of his best work recently, but it's almost without the Jericho Appreciation Society. It's like, I liked Daniel Garcia in this sports entertainer role. I think it's very funny. I was in the crowd when he was cutting that promo on Adam Cole, and he was like, and I'm one of the best pro... And the crowd was like, oh, did you say it? And then he goes, sports entertainers. I like that bit. I like it a lot, but away from Jericho. It's when he's with Jericho, when he's doing Jericho Appreciation Society, like, group work, I don't care. But when Daniel Garcia gets to be on his own doing his thing, he was actually on Hey EW today. Very good. I like Daniel Garcia getting to show more personality. I think it has brought the most out of him, but I just don't want to see it as a group thing.
Yeah, and I feel bad because it's starting to impact my interest in these guys individually. Like, if you were like, I'm no longer interested in Jake Hager, not interested in Angela Parker, Matt Menard. It's really impacting me on all of those ends, because I'm like, this is all that, this is the recent content that I'm getting. So that's what's closest associated to you right now, until you break away from that and do something different and kind of like win me over back as a viewer, right?
Yeah. Although, shout out Anna Jay for finding something new for herself, because she seems to have gotten Fat Ass and Bad Attitude over. And I'm curious how that t-shirt sells.
All right. It's time for our best of the week. And we'll have a feeling we're going to have the same best of the week. Is it the MJF Sting Darby Allin thing?
Yes.
Okay. So we got the same best of the week. Will, take the floor.
All right. We've seen a lot from these segments involving the Pillars. We've seen Jungle Boy really hold his own against MJF. We've seen Sammy Guevara. I didn't think that promo really held its own last week, and I think it dragged on too long. But the person to me who's really shown the best going up against MJF has been Darby Allin. I think that when Darby Allin gets the mic and gets to go up against Max, he stands toe-to-toe with him and brings up some really, really valid stuff that makes us feel for who Darby Allin is on screen. And I thought that this segment, it was pretty standard MJF stuff, but the stuff MJF had to say was good. And I only noticed in hindsight, but they kept bringing up, you know, Sting being your daddy, daddy this, daddy that. And I didn't even consider that was all intentional to get to where Sting came out. But I thought Darby Allin was great here. I thought him bringing up, he asked MJF, are you happy? And he said, because, you know, I once wrestled with you 6 years ago. We wrestled in front of 30 people. And you said once you got to national TV, that was going to be it. You were going to be, that was going to make you happy. And here you are 6 years later, the same miserable prick that you've always been. Meanwhile, here I am. I got to TV and I realized that I didn't want to be, somebody who pretended to be happy on the outside, but was miserable on the inside. I started going to therapy. And what I realized was that I wanted to make sure that the people around me were, and that's shit I live by the way, that I've always said that if the people around you aren't, the people you surround yourself with aren't doing well, then are you really doing well? And that's just the thing I live by. And hearing that from Darby and talking about, he bought his parents a house. He made sure his dad could retire. And his next goal is to become the AEW world champion. And I thought all that was good. And then Sting comes out. Sting is my favorite wrestler of all time. I know that. I know people will say, don't you say Brian's your favorite? Brian's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. Sting's my favorite. But I know that Sting has been on the older side most of my life. And sometimes Sting can say some things that make me cringe in that kind of like old person kind of way. We're like, you tried. And boy, was I worried about this when Sting came out. And I'm like, all right, 60-something-year-old Sting about to get in a promo with guys in their 20s. Don't corn this up, Sting, because you've done that in Impact before. And I got a little bit worried when he was like, I'm more like a cheerleader. But that stuff rocked. This stuff was great. He said, I'm less of a daddy and more like a cheerleader. And he threw pom-poms, kept pulling pom-poms out of his pockets. The fans chanted pom-poms. And then he brought up, he was trying to allude to daddy daycare. And he said, Cody daycare. And then he went, Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say the wrong thing, Cody? Because you had you had a mentor, you had a cheerleader in your corner in AEW, and it was Cody Rhodes. Just like I had my cheerleader, Ric Flair, just like when I, and he started going through his career and I got really excited because look, I've been a fan of Sting since I was a little kid. And so I started with Surfer Sting. I was a big fan of Crow Sting. I literally just bought an NWO Wolfpack shirt that should be here. It says delivery will be here before 10 PM because I love Wolfpack Sting. And he went through all of those, but he talked about how he had Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. And he brought it back around to the fact that he isn't long for this wrestling world. He knows that it's showtime's almost over. But for Darby Allin, he will be AEW World Champion, and soon enough it will be showtime for him. I thought everybody delivered in this segment. They sold me a ticket. Honestly, they sold me a ticket on a Darby and MJF rematch. Like, I'm liking the Jungle Boy stuff. Do I really need it? Like, at some point, just give me this one-on-one match. I want to see Darby Allin versus MJF one-on-one. I loved everything about this. I thought Sting was fantastic. Darby was great. And MJF always plays his role right. This was honestly the best of the pillar segments. Why did you like this, Denise?
So, you know, when this whole thing first started, when we had that original Four Pillars segment, it was one of those things where I kind of thought like, oh, well, you know, I'm interested in everybody. And I remember Darby won that one for me too. Like he won that, you know, whole, like he had the best promo, right? But I was still, for a couple weeks after that, I was still interested in, you know, I was still interested in Jungle Boy and Jungle Boy's portion of it. I think Sammy's probably been the one that I've been least, like his portion in it has been the one that I'm least interested in. But I was still set with wanting to see all four guys. Like I was good with that. But after this week, though, I feel like now that as much as I like Jungle Boy and as much as I thought he did a great job in this, I do agree with the fact that Darby is just feeling like more, he's just feeling more authentic. He feels more natural in this spot. And so I almost feel like it should definitely just be Darby and MJF here. And obviously we've seen their match before. We saw them open, what was it, Full Gear? Where they opened up that night. And I remember that match being absolutely freaking incredible. And that match has always stood out to me. And so we know that it's going to deliver, but now you have the added addition of more of like, you know, the storytelling with all of this. My favorite part in this was Darby Allin's portion where he said the part about him not wanting to be the guy that's, you know, broken on the inside, but smiling on the outside and this and that, right? And him talking about his family and going to therapy and this and that and tying it back to the indie days. To me, all of that was brilliant stuff. And instantly, the crowd really got like everybody likes it. It's like you can tell it kind of touched everybody because everybody had a reaction to this. And so I thought that kind of went a long way. When Sting came out, and I get what you mean by like, obviously he's an older man, so he's going to have different comedy that's not probably going to be the same as ours, whatever. But when he came out with the pom-poms, at first I was like, what the hell? It was freaking funny as hell. That was good. You know, everything that he brought up there with MJF, I thought was really good. Even earlier, I forgot to mention the whole morals talk, the morals exchange between Darby and MJF, because that's been something that he already touched on before with MJF, was the fact that the guy has no morals, right? And so I just really liked the dialogue in this. I liked how everybody felt like a big deal. When Sting said, "Showtime is almost over," I was like, fuck. That one hurt. That one hurt in a way where it's like, yeah, you knew. It's not like you thought, oh, Sting's still going to be here for, you know, X amount of years doing this and this and that, right? It's like, it's not like we didn't know, but hearing it and trying to accept it is an entirely different thing because it's freaking, what is it, father time? It's passing people. Yeah. It's just depressing. I'm not going to get into that. But for me, this just hit. This felt like a big deal. I loved all of it. It had to be best of the week for me.
I'm glad we agreed. No, this needed to be best of the week. I am going to be sad to see Sting go, but I'm excited to see Sting go on his own terms, that he didn't have to go out via an injury, that his last match wasn't that loss to Seth Rollins in at Night of Champions, and that he's got to have plenty more after that WWE run. I am just so pleased to see Sting get to do what he's doing on his own terms, and
We got a really, really generous super chat here. So I want to take a second and really thank Wildebeest for this. That is really generous of you. Wildebeest says, thank you too for being awesome. Sting is also my all-time fave and the main reason I watched wrestling in the 90s and why I'm back watching after 20 years. Sting's return got me into AEW, but MJF, Darby, Wayne, Sky Blue, Billy Starks is why I'm staying. Wildebeest, seriously, thank you so much for this very generous super chat. And
I have a question, Wildebeest. Is your name Wildebeest? Because I see it's two L's, because your name is Will and you're saying Wildebeest. Because if so, that's really dope. And if not, I'm stealing that. But no, I'm just kidding. This is great.
All right. But I also do like what he said here, where he's kind of tying in the fact that, like, you know, Sting was his all-time favorite as well. And then, you know, kind of the new generation that is keeping him interested, because that's, you know, that's what you want to do, right? That's what you got to do for wrestling to keep going and keep going strong. You got to implement new people, new acts, and try to get you to fall in love with them like you did with the whoever made you fall in love with wrestling in the first place. For Will to be, it was Sting. For other people, different people. For Will, Sting too. So that's really cool. Will to be, thank you so much for the super chat. Seriously. Yes.
And thank you for confirming that was why you named yourself Will to Beast. That's great.
Yeah, he said. Here it is. All right. Dang, I was about to say, I thought we still had more, but no, that's it. No, that's our show. We went through all of it.
Yes. And shout out to everybody in the chat who noticed that it was the original Ninja Turtles game behind me. I'm going to try and keep it going. It's and keep changing the game out as I've been doing the last few weeks. But I swear I'm running out of ideas very quickly.
You're running out? How many games does that thing have?
I have thousands. It's I could put any game I want on it. But it's just a matter of, oh, what's something that would pop the audience is really what I'm trying to do here.
I see.
I haven't even gone into wrestling stuff yet. Oh, I got plenty of options. Oh, let's go, baby.
Awesome fun, Will. Don't worry. It's there. All right. So before we go, before we wrap things up, in case you guys haven't noticed yet, I am about, what is it now? 400 and something, less than 400 subscribers away from 100K. If you are new here, if you're new to this channel, please hit that subscribe button. The amount of content that goes up on this channel is tremendous. Not only do you get a weekly after the week podcast, but I put interviews up. I put original content. I just put an unboxing video for the most recent AEW All Elite crate. I have a bunch of them if you guys are into that type of stuff. I post clips, scrums, you name it, everything that, you know, wrestling fans would enjoy is up here on this channel. So please, if you haven't yet, click that subscribe button. Almost at 100K. It's going to be happening in the next couple of days. So please make sure to do that.
Will, I was hoping it would happen during this show. I was like,
I knew it wouldn't.
I had streamers prepared, all of this stuff.
Damn, we'll have to save the streamers for the next show. But Will, plug in whatever you need to plug in.
Yeah, as long as I remain on Twitter, which is turning into a disaster of an app, you can follow me at WilliamRBR, and that's where you can find all my content. I'm going to keep podcasting and continue doing the things that I do, and might be doing some writing here soon. People forget that I'm actually pretty good at that, and it's been a while. So you may start seeing some writing here in the near future, but until then, just keep following.
Keep following, everybody. Subscribe to the channel. We'll see you guys back here after the week next week on Sunday, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. See you, everybody. Bye.